Good morning. I was a little bit late today. Forgive me. Mostly it's the facilitator who starts getting nervous, as they might be called upon to spontaneously preach the word for 40 minutes or whatever. Or they'll drag out announcements for the rest of the service. But yeah. I'm doing awesome. Everybody's enjoying the first, we're starting to smell the breath of spring again, right? It's moving in upon us. It's lovely. It's wonderful. No one appreciates spring like Canadians, typically from this part of the country. My sister Ella moved to Victoria Island. That's the island off of BC, right? Campbell River. And it's like in like mid-February, they're like going to the superstore to buy the, start potting their plants for their gardens and all that kind of stuff. And they call themselves Canadian. And it's like, oh, okay, minus five. Oh, no. Yeah, close the schools. But, yeah, awesome. So I had an interesting conversation with Sylvia last week, St. Cyr, and I think this is a nice segue. Basically, it's like, and I'm going to point out your flaws, okay, Sylvia? It's okay. Sylvia was saying how when she's a doer, a big-time doer and a goer, and so for her, God often calls her to rest and just wait, like chill out. This is going to happen. We can get so caught up when you want to do things, when you want to move quick, when you want to accomplish, and your mindset that way. Sometimes we need to just like, okay, ooh, you know, because that type of person, which may be different areas, it's probably fractal in your life. Different areas may be like that. Some areas not. But people who are like that typically can over, like, the ditch on that side of things, we all know what that looks like, busybody, right? Myself, I am much more cautious. You probably wouldn't think so, but I'm much, by nature, much more cautious, much more conservative, much more hesitant. I procrastinate. That's, like, my thing. But luckily, I'm decent under pressure, so it works out. But for me, God asks me to take steps. When he's telling Sylvia to rest, he's like, Daniel, do that. Because I need that. You see the difference? They're both from rest, but they're both to deal with the heart issue of the situation. For Sylvia, it's like, Sylvia, you need to chill out a little bit. Like, relax, take it smooth, remember, trust me. And for me, God's like, Daniel, I put my spirit in you, you're going to step forward, trust in what I'm doing in you, take the step, right? It's accomplishing the same thing in your heart. We're learning to trust God, right? That's the point. And so our personalities, he tailors it to that. So it's like, you got to know your own heart a little bit, right? And that sort of thing. But last week, I shared a little bit about Nigel and I and our family. We're stepping more into ministry role of going to the nations, stepping out, setting up websites, writing literature, blogging, video blogging, all that sort of stuff, leading missions out on the streets. And so I have to take the step and do a shameless plug. If you would like to be a part of our email updating list as to what we're doing, we're planning a whole bunch of stuff for this year and just supporting us and being there because, like I said last week, I need you guys to do this, and without you, we would not be doing what we're doing. So most of you probably signed this already. I'm going to pass it around again, please, and thank you. And if you want to be on the list, put your name on there, and I'll update you as to what we are up to regularly. So that's me doing something, okay? That's me doing that. Last week, we talked to... Are you Milo? Milo. Welcome here. Is this your first time here? No? Awesome. Thanks for coming back. Yeah, Milo, I don't know. I just saw, when Mike pointed you out, I just saw a picture of you with a lot of, like, just joy. And I feel like joy is something God's given you to, like, lighten rooms where you go. And I feel that's something, you know, don't be afraid to smile. And I don't think you are. Like, you're smiling right now. But I just feel like that was something that was accented. I feel like you were created for joy and to shine that wherever you go. Does that connect at all? Yeah? Yes, sweet. Sometimes it doesn't. Man, this is so appropriate. I got included on this email list thing to start doing prophetic words for people. So there's a mediator. and she connects prophetic people who want to like prophesy with people who want prophecy. And so she's like, okay, there's a person who wants a prophecy. Go. And then you say a bunch of stuff. And then she takes what you say and she emails it to them. And then she gives you feedback. And I was like, man, I'm going for details. And I was like, brown hair, female, 23, last name Craker, something, something, something. Like, I just went for it. And all of it was wrong. All of it was wrong. Like, every single thing was wrong. Okay, it's like, I struck out completely. And I struck out passionately. It's like, you're going to burn blazing in glory so that everybody sees it. And it was awesome, though, you know, because, like, I learned, okay, that was clearly me. And I'm going to keep doing it, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to keep failing. And so just, you'll see why I mentioned that. Last week, we talked about intimacy with God. We've been continuing on our, Does anybody have a, I'm going to steal this. I don't have it off by heart. Our mission statement, we've been continuing on that. No, I don't have it memorized. It's not required to memorize it. Thank God. Our mission is to see the church family transformed by intimacy with Jesus in order to reflect him to all people. So there's really like three stages there. It is to see the church family. So once we've all been included, once we've come alive, once we've awoken to the fact that we're included in a family and that we're here and we're doing things for Jesus, we want to introduce people to relationship with God. We did not sign people up for a religion. We did not sign them up for works. We did not sign them up so that they could pay their tithe and do a whole bunch of things and be a part of a fan club, right? We're transformed by intimacy and in encountering Jesus. And that's the kind of, that's what we want to facilitate here in this building as a group of people. Our first mission as a church family is to facilitate encounter with Jesus. That in order to reflect him to all people. So what did Jesus do, right? Jesus came as God. He lowered himself to a man. He stayed in relationship with God. He denied himself all of the things, right? I mean, I don't know how a guy who's perfect denies himself, but you know what I mean. Jesus did what God wanted. He didn't do what he wanted. He was demonstrating submission. And so then he comes and he remains intimate with God, and the nature of God is reflected through him to the world around him, which is all blessed, right? So that's, we're basically just trying to do what Jesus did. People call it discipleship, blah, 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 all the things. We want to look like Jesus because we don't want, who was here last week? We don't want to make out with the witch. Some of you were like, what did I miss last week? Last week we talked about that. We talked about, so I watched it this morning. Don't let your kids watch this movie. It's freaky. Just because there's imagery that they'd probably go to sleep thinking about. But I remember that I was telling you that story of that that boy. I think his name was Ashlad. And he goes on this adventure and they encounter these beautiful women. And they sit down and they have this feast, right? So I watched it again because I wanted to make sure I got the details right. And it's fascinating. So what happens is there's these two guys and they're walking down this path. They're frustrated. They're hungry. They're angry. They have to go on this quest because their loser brother burnt down their house and they have to like figure all this stuff out. And they're hungry. It's been a while. They haven't eaten. And so they're walking through the forest and all of a sudden there's this huge basket of golden apples. And they're like, and it's like, it's a basket. It's not like a tree. It's a basket. It was prepared. It was wrapped in, it just looked really pretty. And so they walk up and they're hungry and they're tired and they're like, man, you think anyone would notice if we like took one? And then the guy's like one each? And so they dive in, obviously, and they eat all of the apples. They end up just gorging themselves on it. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these three beautiful women show up. And they're like, oh yeah, that was my basket. Oh, that's so funny. You ate all the apples. Come with me. And so they start following these women and they're just like, wow, this is awesome. And these apples are like, they're feeling happy. They've got energy again. They're walking through this forest and they lead them through this crack in a rock and they walk into this area that's like, there's rainbows and light and there's flowers and beautiful trees everywhere. And all of a sudden they walk through and there's this table and it's filled with delicacies of like strawberries and apples and grapes and chicken and all sorts of awesome stuff. I'm sure there was schmonfat and gravy and, you know, all the good things we appreciate, pierogies. But they walk in there, and these women are touching them and feeding them, and they're just thinking they're kings. And so their brother, who they ditched previously, was following them behind. He's tracking them because they just kind of ditched him because they were mad at him. And so he comes up, and he actually finds an apple on the ground. And so he picks up this apple, and he bites it, and he's like, oh, that's pretty good. He has one apple. And he just keeps going. He follows their trail, and all of a sudden it comes to this big rock, and the rock, like, opens up for him. And he walks through, and it's the same thing. There's, like, this light beams shining in. It's beautiful. He goes to where the table is. These three women are there, and he's like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is awesome. His two other brothers are there. They're like, come on, this is great. And so he goes, and for the first bit, he's like, awesome. Like, awkward, like, unusual, but great. And so he's eating, but he only had one apple. He didn't engorge himself. So the apples were enchanted, right? So he only had one. And so as he's eating, all of a sudden the strawberry dish turns into like maggots. And he kind of like reacts to it. And then one of the women like notices that he's kind of like catching on, but she still plays it up. She's like, are you okay? And then as she says, are you okay? Her eyes turn black. Like he starts seeing what's really going on. The veil is being torn. And so he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then he keeps eating, and she's like, oh, good, ha, 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 ha. And they're all laughing again and having a great time. And then he looks at his brother, who's like taking a bite of this big piece of chicken, and it's like, it's actually a big rat. It's dead, and the hair's on it. And this guy's just laughing, and they're eating. And all of a sudden, the veil is removed, because the woman's like, here, have another apple. And he takes the apple, he's like, He doesn't actually take a bite, and she's like, He's under the spell again, right? And so he drops the apple, and as he drops the apple, the veil just goes whoosh. And it's actually dark and foggy and gloomy, and they're witches, and they look like ancient witches. They're gross. and these guys, and then he sees the reality. So these gross women dressed in rags with long noses and warts are touching these guys. They've got long, broken black nails, and they're grabbing like rotten, hairy food and putting it in their mouths. And he's watching his friends, and they're like, yes! Ah! And he's just like, oh my gosh. Time to get out of here. And so he grabs his buddies, and he slaps them, and, you know, gotta wake up. All of a sudden, all the lights come on. They see what was actually happening, and they book it out of that pop stand. I just blended two figures of speech. They blew that pop stand. So it's amazing, guys, because it's like they were legitimately tired. They were legitimately hungry, right? Legitimate needs. But they compromised. They stole. Remember, they walk up, they see this basket. It obviously belongs to somebody. Somebody had done the labor to pick these apples. So they stole. They compromised. They discussed how this shouldn't be too bad. But as soon as they compromised and violated their consciences, a spell came over them, and they lost the ability to judge truth. And it took a friend who was just kind of ignorantly like, oh, an apple, great. Like, he hadn't violated things, right? It's not a perfect example, but very, like, that'll preach. You know what I mean? Are you catching what that's saying? Oftentimes, we have legitimate heartfelt needs, like intimacy, like friendship, like all these things, and we try to meet them illegitimately, and it'll slight your conscience, and then you'll actually start getting foggy, and you'll lose what truth is, and you'll actually start thinking that what you're enjoying is giving you life, how you're compromising truth is enjoyable. And other people are watching in horror as we abuse ourselves. That's sin. So we talked about that. I just expounded on it. We talked about seeds. We talked about, I wonder if that'll work out. I haven't actually thought about this. I'm doing this on the fly. If that analogy, that movie would work out with the seed analogy. Basically, the seed would have been compromise. And that compromise led to more compromise, led to more compromise. To justify the original compromise. So essentially, there's the world of darkness, there's the world of light. Everything wants to plant its seed in you so that you will have its babies. Yes, there is sexual connotation there because it has to do with intimacy. Because what you're intimate with, what you entrust yourself to, what you believe, what you think, what you commit your time to, what you adore, what you worship, you're being intimate with. You can do this through television, right? What shows you watch, what music you listen to. And this isn't like a religious thing. You need to shut off that AC/DC by now. Like, I don't care. Okay? It's not about that. It's about what is your heart, what are you giving your heart to? Because it doesn't always look like a romantic relationship. Okay? It like we think intimacy, a lot of the time we garner these ideas of like a man and a woman frolicking through the flowers, that scene that I have to close my kids' eyes from in The Lion King, right? I'm just kidding. we think of like people frolicking around and just having this intimate time, but intimacy, it's to know something. It's to be known and to know someone. Being intimate, you know them. You don't just know about them, right? I can read a biography on Daniel Williams, but not actually know him. But I can go to Dan's office and I can chat with him and I can share time with him. And after a week, and then we go on a fishing trip together, and I see Dan under pressure, and I see Dan in awesome situations where he catches this big fish. He catches a bigger fish than me, and we have this like banter back and forth, and it's fun. We figure each other out. We get this humor going. That's an inside joke last for years. There's a familiarity there, right? That didn't happen, by the way. Never will. So we have this familiarity with one another. We've been to meetings together. We've experienced these things together. And there's this familiarity there. And you can write, like maybe you know Dan's middle name because you read a book about him. I might not even know Dan's middle name, but I know Dan. You see the difference? And so intimacy, you know, it's really like, oh. It's so, like I said last week, it's really hard to talk about it without making these, making like rules. You know what I mean? Without making requirements. Because that's not the point here. You know, Jesus died while you were a sinner, right? Right? We gotta know that. We gotta know that. Don't be afraid to nod your heads. Help me out! I said last week that our intimacy, like if you're lacking intimacy with God, it's probably in some way or another because someone gave you a list of requirements. And we expounded on that a little bit, just talking about how when you're obligated, when you have a duty, when you are required to meet a standard, that kills intimacy. Like ladies who you know, you've been wooed by men. If you knew your man was like reading a list and kind of uninspiringly like, well, I guess I have to get her a flower. Yeah, I guess that's in there. Okay. Well, I got the flower for you. Like, does that capture your heart? Not even a little bit. You're just like, yeah, it's right, I guess. Ew. Like, I don't even want that thing. That's nasty. But when a man is like inspired because he sees a woman's beauty and he's like, man, I want to capture her heart. I want to show her how much I think she's so wonderful and valuable. And his mind starts going, he starts thinking about all these things he wants to do. And he starts setting up these dates that are just epic and awesome. And he didn't have a list. Right? He was inspired by love. A couple things, and I have to, you know, take account of yourself, scriptures say. You may be religious if you think fear is a better motivator than love. If you're motivated to do good things and to love people because you're afraid of going to hell or you're afraid of making God mad, if you don't, that's religion and that's law. It's a list. It's a requirement. It's a duty. I read this the other day, and it was awesome, so I have to repeat it to you guys. Does anyone know who Paul Ellis is? Paul Ellis. He writes Escape to Reality. It's a blog, a grace-filled blog, which is just amazing. He says, you may be religious if, this is good, you may be religious if you mainly think of following Jesus in terms of giving up things. Right? Christianity is a divine... I'll read that again. You may be religious if you mainly think of following Jesus in terms of giving up things. Think about the witch's table, guys. Like, when you start getting understanding and seeing revelation, like, you got saved. Right? You got saved. Pulled out. It's like, I always think of that stupid Titanic movie. When it's like, you could have just scooched over and let him on the board. You know, when at the end, when he's in the water and he's slipping down, she's like, I'm not getting off. Anyways. Move over, Rose. Come on. Oh, shoot, I totally lost where I was going with that. See, the Titanic strikes again. I was forced to watch that on a bus trip I was taking. It was playing on the thing. And I was like, all right. You know, never would have watched it if it was my choice. But we think about the witch's table, right? Once you start getting understanding, once you're like, oh my goodness, I'm blind, naked, poor, and afraid. And it's like, you need to deny yourself. Okay. Okay. Pick me. Denied. No, you need to die daily, brother. Eating rats? Okay. Yeah, I'm out. Thank you. Like, we paint this language, it's like we give so much power to the flesh and to the draw of evil, and it's got you, it's got its power on you, it's holding you down. But once you start getting understanding, once you start receiving knowledge, once you start sharing and having intimacy, and his spirit transforms the way you think so that you start seeing things the way he sees them, you're not laying anything down, man. It's not hard. It's like, yeah, I'm slipping off this board into the water. Deny yourself. Okay, I guess. Like, deny. I'll read the rest of this. Christianity is a divine exchange. Our life for his. No doubt you've heard people say that following Jesus costs you everything. And it does. You cannot call him Lord without renouncing the right to your own life. But see what you get in exchange. If salvation means nothing more to you than self-denial and personal sacrifice, you've missed the whole point. Christ offers us an unfair exchange, our life for his. God favors us with this exchange. We give him our sinful little selves and we get everything in return. A law mindset looks at what we give up, but a grace mindset rejoices at what he offers in return. Stop thinking about what you gave up and start enjoying what he has given you. Selah. Hey? Like, the gospel, the biggest thing that it is it's a perspective change. When you start seeing things that they really are, man, because maybe I don't need prayer as much as I just need to believe the truth. And I'm not against prayer, and I'm not against prayer chains, and I'm not against ministering to one another, okay? I'm all for that sort of stuff. But the truth sets you free. Seeing what reality is because of what Jesus has done sets you free. Your eyes pop open, and you see the witches, and you see the rats, and you see the maggots. You can pray for Sally or Bobby that they would just be complete, that their eyes would be open. That's great. But ultimately, Sally or Bobby's eyes need to pop open. And they need to start seeing correctly. They need to start believing the truth. Because a lot of the times, man, we wake up in the morning and we go, oh my goodness, I'm just Monday already? How come Friday is so much further away from... What's that saying? Friday is so much further away from Monday than Monday is from Friday. Right? You start complaining about that sort of stuff. You get up early, have to go to work. My kids, I got to make them breakfast. It's like, gosh, why can't they just get their own cereal? It's pouring milk. My vehicle. There's high kilometers on here. Oh, man, I'm just that anxiety about the next vehicle's already there. Where am I going to get it? You drive to work, someone cuts you off. You get to work. I can just tell it's going to be one of those days, brother. I need prayer. Would you just pray this thing off of me? Pray it off of me, please. Help me out here. You don't have a prayer problem. You have a belief problem. And I'm not pointing fingers and I'm not being mean. I've absolutely been there. And in different areas of my life, I'm working through it. Okay? You need to believe correctly. Like, the Bible has so many great and precious promises where God, man, like, oh, I can't even get away from Ephesians. Ephesians is such an amazing book. If you haven't read it, just read the first chapter. You don't have to be a theologian or anything to figure out what he's saying. You may have to be a theologian to find it. Man, this is embarrassing. I went to Bible school. Ephesians chapter 1. There are so many promises, man. Like it's a complete change in perspective. Deny yourself. Yeah, give up the rat feast, buddy. Like, come on. Quit. Like, give up the mentality that sees life that way. That's what we're called to deny. That's what we're called to give up. The mindset that sees negative death, law, forced obligation, drudgery, chains. It's like, yeah, if you think you're a slave, you are. You get to choose now. And Jesus shows us this, all these great and precious promises. Blessed, in verse 3, Ephesians 1, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Imagine you woke up, and yeah, it's Monday, and yeah, you didn't get a good sleep because the kids are up, and yeah, the vehicle's on its way up. God, I just thank you, Lord, that in preparation for my day, you've given me every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as you chose me in him before the foundation of the world. Lord, I thank you that before this day even happened, you had me in mind, you knew who I was, and you wanted me. Jesus, I'm going to let that truth permeate my heart right now and just completely be the kickstart of my day, Jesus. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, there's a whole bunch of things coming, God, but your truth speaks. I'm going to put that as a bigger deal than anything I'm going to face today. Like, when you start believing and applying faith to what the word says, the Holy Spirit jumps on that thing and makes it your reality. We are saved by grace through faith. Right? And this isn't of your own. It's the gift of God. It's that no one may boast. So you don't even get to use your faith. I heard this one example. This guy was talking about, maybe I took a picture of it. It was a screenshot. Nope. Anyways, I'll try to sum it up. If somebody said you had $1 million, I have $1 million for you. It's on my desk. It's a check. Come and get it. And you get up, and you go, and you get in your car, and you drive, you take the elevator, you go to the top floor, you grab the check off my desk, and you go, and you put it in the bank. Would you go and tell your friends that you just earned $1 million today? Guys, you wouldn't believe the day I had earned $1 million, worked for it. But does it even have an action yet? Like, the truth was you had $1 million when that guy said you did, right? But you had to go and you had to grab it. Then you had to go put it in your bank account. But even though you have $1 million, it's like you still don't, it's not benefiting you, right? Like, you need to learn, oh, there's a card. And if I swipe that card when I need something, that money gets transferred and switches accounts, and I get to apply what was given to me, right? Would you call any of that work? Like $1 million, and you have to go like, Like, no, you wouldn't call that work. You'd be like, yes, please. You'd be skipping through the mall, like swiping and cashing all the coins you got. You'd make sure, you'd be checking the bank account. Yep, tons left. And everyone would be like, man, oh, that sucks. How come he doesn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, this perspective change we need to have, guys. It's not work. It's like, he's given us everything. And this is, guys, okay, so I bought a new battery for my camera this week. I do photography. And got it used half price. It was a deal. Drove down there. Or before I went, the guy canceled. He's like, hey, man, problems, got to cancel. Maybe in a couple days. So I was like, okay, all good. You know, I wasn't like, oh, man, I really needed that battery. I've got a job tomorrow. Right? Could have done that. Thank God I didn't. A couple days later, he calls me. He's like, hey, I'm ready for the exchange. Let's do this. Drive downtown. It's on Osborne somewhere. Turns out, I'm talking to the guy. Cameras, or the battery's great. We do the exchange. He's like, Daniel, yeah, I had to cancel because my sister, who's 24, has liver problems. The doctors are like, half the doctors are like, let's get her to Toronto and pull that thing and cut her open, fix it. The other half of the doctors are like, let's not jump to conclusions here. Let's wait for this thing to play out. And he's like, it's his sister. She's 24. He's obviously perturbed and stressed out in the situation. And so, man, it was like, I just, actually, as I was driving there, I was like, man, I bet there's something I can say to this guy. Like, I bet there's a blessing. Because it's like, when you start getting that perspective that you're light and he lives in you, and you see situations coming, it's like, huh, wonder how I can shine some light here. Right? You just start thinking that way. Because I bet Jesus was. Jesus is like, Jesus, you need to get down here. There's a table that needs to be built. Whatever, I don't know, carpenter joke. And Jesus goes and he's like, huh, I wonder who I'm building this table for. Man, Jesus, what are you saying? Or he wouldn't have said Jesus. He just said, Father, what are you saying about this person? And maybe he'd have a word for him. Maybe he'd get some insight. And so I started doing that, man. And it wasn't like, there's a Bible verse that says I need to pray for people and be nice. Okay, I guess I bet. No, it was like my heart was drawn in. Like, he had problems and I knew it was health related because he said that he'd go to the hospital. And I was just like, oh man, like my heart, I let my heart feel that. It was like, that sucks, man. I felt the pull. And he's telling me the story, and compassion was just like, oh man. So I was like, dude, can I pray for you? He's like, yeah, right? And so I got to pray for this guy who I'm just buying a battery from. And he's like, man, thank you so much for just like being really real with me and the real interaction. Like, really. And I don't think he was a Christian. And he's like, thank you so much just for this interaction, man. Like, this is really good. I was like, yeah, God bless you, man. Now say the prayer. Close the deal. No, I was like, yeah, you bet, man. God bless. Have a great day. Right? It's just like super simple. Super, super natural for me to do that. And that's kind of part of the reasons why we're planning these river walks and stuff, guys. It's because this is a super safe place. Like a super safe place. We've got all the list of stuff there. There's the prayer room. There's the healing. There's prophetic. There's activation. There's foot washing. There's encouragement. There's stuff like that. Like oftentimes it's so easy to be like to my daughter, you're so awesome, sweetie. Oh, I love you. But what about somebody who Jesus highlights in a crowd? And you he even gives you the feelings. You're like, oh, you ever have that? You see somebody and your guts are just like, oh man, like something with that person. I just gotta, oh. You don't know what to say. You know, I was telling the leadership meeting, it's like, if all the devil has to do is bring a spirit of uncomfortable to this totally blindside the move of God in your life, like we got to wake up a little bit more. We're probably sitting at a table and eating food that we shouldn't be. Right? Like you were made for boldness. You were made for extravagance. You were made, the righteous are as bold as lions. We need to understand our righteousness, not be ashamed of the gospel and step out in love, not trying to get another person to heaven so that we can check off, but because we love. Like why did Jesus do what he did? Because he was Jesus. No, he did what he did because Jesus was love. He died on the cross because that's what love does. He healed the sick because he loved people. Yes, it proved he was God. Yes, it had all these things, right, that solidified his deity and were fulfilling scripture and stuff like that. But he did it because he's love. And so we, like, this is an awesome opportunity because, man, how I started, like, I could never pray for a person I just met. And, dude, I don't even want to call it chickening out. That's not even the right mindset. I started doing this stuff in a group of people who we met together. We started seeing some of the stuff with scripture, different teachings. And we started praying for one another. And you know what, man? It's a little awkward. And you know what? I've done this so many times, and I'm buying this battery from this dude, and it was a little awkward. And if I'm going to let the spirit of awkward prevent this guy from having a divine encounter, whether he realizes it or not, man. And it's not even about like, oh, well, you know, he didn't even feel anything, so it was a waste of time. I wrote something down about this. If the spirit of uncomfortable is sabotaging your spiritual walk, it's like, let's grow up past that, right? The spirit of uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable. And I'm not pointing fingers and making fun of, okay? Like, this is our culture. Our culture's been built up in a way to make you sad, lonely, scared, depressed, alone, afraid to voice your opinion. And when you do, it's coming from a place where you felt so suppressed your whole life that it's usually in an outburst and overdone. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's in me. Right? Don't say anything. Don't offend anybody. Feelings are touted as this like ultimate, it's how people feel that you need to respect. Because if he feels awkward, how dare you make me feel awkward? And then we put feelings above truth, which sets us free. And when we compromise, we're taking a bite of the apple. And then our compass gets off. And then we're sitting at a table eating delicacies when it is not even close to what Jesus paid for you to have. You guys following? You know, and this is like, we all face the same things. Like, nobody's special. Everybody in here has fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Everybody in here. Every single person was below the line. That is such good news. Nobody in here is boasting. Nobody's better than anybody else. Everybody was hellbound and deserved it. Yes! Because that means if he can do it for me, if he can do it for Dan, if he can do it for Sylvia, he can do it for you. The qualification for righteousness and moving in godly power is that you are first unrighteous and below that line. Jesus said it himself, I came for the sick, not those who are well. The qualification for receiving the grace of God and moving in the life that he wants to give us is that first you have to be ungodly. You qualify? Amen? So a big lie about... It's fun, man. It's funny. Like, I went and prayed for this big group of Aboriginals one time. They were all tatted out in G-Unit gangstered. But my mind is starting to change. I was in the mall, and, you know, I'm praying for, like, grandma. You know, this will be easy. She's not going to get mad. Even if she does, what's she going to do to me, right? You know, it's like, that's how your mind thinks when you're trying to, like, you're navigating new waters. You're trying to avoid pain. You're trying to avoid awkwardness. And so I saw this huge group of Aboriginal guys. They were like G-Unit up, gangster town. In my mind. And I was like, okay. Holy Spirit's like, you know, you shouldn't be letting awkward dictate how your day's going to be. Or uncomfortable dictate who you're going to talk to. And I was like, well, these guys scare the crap out of me. And I'm alone. And I'm in the middle of the city. And there's like, I don't know, 20 of them. And I was like, okay. That must mean I have to go talk to these guys. And so I went and I talked to these guys. Turns out they're a hockey team. All of my judgments were completely wrong. They were from a reserve south of here. I don't know which one it was called. I can't recall. But I ended up praying for this one guy. And he had hurt his back because he got body checked in hockey. And so I prayed for him. And I've had to pray like I can't believe he let me. I prayed once. Nothing happened. I prayed twice. Nothing happened. I prayed three times. Nothing happened. Everybody's watching. Everybody. People are walking by like, what's this guy doing? And I prayed again. And all I've got is like, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Doesn't say why not. Just says do that. And so I set up this huge scene and I'm praying for this guy. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, Jesus, thank you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. It was seven times before anything changed. That's awkward, man. That's super awkward. Like, super awkward. Everything, the flesh inside of me, that old training, that mindset that's used to comfort and want things to be nice and doesn't want to get dirty because it's icky, right? That stuff was like squirming, like, ew, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. Like, I always imagine it, it's like this teenage girl who's like, ew, oh, sick, gross. Nothing against teenage girls. But we all have those ideas of those valley girls who are like, issy prissy. That's like the flesh mindset. That's gross. Oh, don't touch that. Yucky. You know? So I'm standing here in front of all these guys who, I don't know if they're going to beat me up. I'm praying for this dude and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. The awkwardness was thick. The uncomfortableness was thick. But I was like, man, like, I'm a Christian. Jesus lives in me. I believe that thing. Like, I actually believe that. And I'm thinking, Jesus prayed twice for the blind guy. Okay, I got more than twice. Like, there's credence there to go further. But the big lie is that it's uncomfortable, so why face the uncomfortability of risk? Why face the uncomfortability of faith? Why face the uncomfortability of deep interaction? What if the person doesn't get healed? What if this guy who I'm buying the battery from doesn't even care? What if he thinks, and that's happened. I've gone to pray for people and they're like, you're weirding me out. And I'm like, okay. Okay. But it's not about the payoff. It's not about how they react. It's not about what if it happens, what if it doesn't. It's about being love, and what does love do? Love moves in. Love reaches in. Compassion grabs, pulls out, right? And so when we have... Oh, I'll read one more thing. So awkwardness. Awkwardness is like fire, right? It burns. It's uncomfortable. It's not nice. Uncomfortability. This is like stage one, man. Like, I know people who have been punched in the face, like persecution, whack, black eye. I pray for you, bam. Because this person got touched by a priest when they were a kid, and they had nothing to do with it. Like, we don't know why people are violent, right? Can't take that stuff personally. But this awkward level, like, let's move past that one, right? Like, let's believe God enough to just hop past that line a little bit and face a little bit of fire. Because, guys, if you're living in the flesh, fire burns you. If you're living in spirit, fire refines you. Same situation. One person, they can learn from it and they can go, man, you know, like, how come two people can grow up in the Bronx? That's funny, man. The place that I picked up this battery from was called the Bronx. Guys can grow up in the Bronx. They can have the same situations. They can both have their dads were gone when they were kids. They have this gang life. One grows up to be the CEO of some company and the other dies a crack addict. Like, how you face life matters. And this Bible gives us the Word of God, Jesus, gives us this new perspective, this new lens to live from. It doesn't mean everything's going to come out peaches and roses, man, but you'll preserve your soul. Like, you won't start dining at tables of witches. And if you see people who are, you're going to go and you're going to, hey, hopefully start waking them up a little bit, right? And the same fire that consumes flesh refines spirit. So you can go through an awkward situation and think, oh my God, oh, they're like, oh my God, I'm never doing that again. Sick. That was icky. It was so weird. Oh my goodness. Right? You can do that. Or you can go, God, I just thank you so much, Lord. Like, what an awesome thing, God. I got to press through that, and my feelings were raging, God. But, Lord, I thank you that I'm seeing your word higher and above my own experience, God. What a way to deny myself, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that that old, dead nature has nothing on me, God. You've called me to lay hands on the sick. You've called me to move in compassion. You've called me to encourage the downtrodden, Father. I thank you that I'm doing that, and I'm doing, like, rah. So it's an awkward situation actually ends up refining you and a confirming truth in your life. Isn't that cool? And it's all how you react to it. We react to it based on the promises of God. So, next week, I'm going to be talking more about this. And then the next week is the river walk, I believe. So this is all in preparation, guys. It's like you were made a house fit for a king. You were made for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. You were made to be filled. You were made to have compassion. You were made to walk in the ways that God walked. And our whole culture and our whole narrative and everything about where we live today is about suppressing and crushing and don't stick your head up and don't do anything crazy and play it really safe. Don't ripple the waters. Right? Why is that the strategy? To keep light from shining. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You just got to shine. Right? And so we're going to step back. Like, this is such a safe place to do it, man. We're going to practice stepping past that. We're going to equip a little bit. We're going to move past sacred boundaries that are established from old of comfort. Based on the personality test I took, right? Not against personality tests. I get it. They're fun. But I can't let a personality test or anything that I assume is about how I am be more true than what this word says. The righteous are as bold as lions. It doesn't mean you have to go and pray for a bunch of natives downtown. It doesn't mean you have to go and pray for anybody. But I just want you guys to understand the truth that's in you and that there's more. And that oftentimes we've been feeding at a table of comfort and we've been feeding at a table of not going past boundaries that are weird and not getting awkward. And we think we're feasting. But we're not. You're eating rats. There's way better feasts for you. And Jesus prepares it. And it's actually in the presence of your enemies. That means you're doing it in the midst of battle. And you're like, right? It's so good. This food, thank God, is real, I think, and is based on semi-Mennonite, southern Manitoba style baking and cooking. So Jesus, thank you for the feast that you've set before us, God. Jesus, I thank you that we're not dining at the table of death anymore. We were in the kingdom of darkness, and you have now brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And I thank you, Jesus, that none of the things we talked about today qualifies or disqualifies or makes us any better, God. But Father, we've seen that we've been eating at a certain table, and we've seen, God, the destruction that does. And we want to walk free of that, and we want our other people, because of love, to be set free from that too, Father. That's our motivation, because that's why you came. You gave up the comfort of heaven. You gave up the throne. You gave up all of the comforts and delicacies and enrichment and just wonder of heaven, and you became a little human baby stuck in a little flesh body in a manger where animals were pooping and it was uncomfortable and it was weird. Jesus, you became extremely uncomfortable for us. Father, may we be okay becoming uncomfortable for the sake of others. Because we're like you. And if there's discomfort, it's likely masking what you want to do in somebody else's life. So help us to see that first, God. In Jesus' name, amen.